And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Today's theme for the show is Hard to Believe. My first guest told us amazing stories about using social media to achieve hard-to-believe results. My next guest is truly the dean of Hard to Believe. He works for Ripley's, believe it or not, the worldwide franchise of amusements and oddities. If you want to join in the conversation, or if you've got an oddity yourself, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Edward Meyer is the Vice President of Exhibits and Archives for Ripley's Entertainment. He's worked for the company since 1978, and he has personally acquired more than 20,000 oddities or exhibits for the company. Edward, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And you fit right in with today's theme, which is Hard to Believe. Of course, everybody's heard of Ripley's Believe It or Not. But tell us the story. What's the origin behind the Ripley Museums and the Ripley Publications?
Well, there was a guy named Robert Ripley. He's no longer with us, but he was a newspaper journalist born in Santa Rosa, California in 1890. First job in San Francisco, 1909, but moves to New York in 1913. And the first, believe it or not, newspaper drawing was in 1918. And through the 20s, he's already traveling a fair bit, trying to find odd, unusual, unbelievable things to draw for his newspaper column. In 1929, he puts a bunch of them into a book that becomes a bestseller and actually stays in print for over 20 years. Based on that book, which was called Just Believe It or Not by Ripley, that you get this whole Ripley empire. He gets into the movie business. He gets into radio. He opens his first museum in 1933. A little bit later, he has a television show. And Ripley Entertainment that we know today is founded on that collection that Robert Ripley spent his lifetime amalgamating.
Absolutely. Now, and one of the interesting things that I found, Edward, is back in 1929, he partnered with William Randolph Hearst, the great newspaper publisher, and he syndicated that strip globally. And so in the 1930s, he was in up to 350 newspapers across the country with a readership of over 80 million. I mean, that's pretty incredible, even by today's standards, isn't
it? Big numbers. And the cartoon is still produced today. We have drawn a Ripley's Believe It or Not cartoon every day, 365 days a year, since 1918.
And do you have a staff of cartoonists that are putting this together, or do you have one guy?
One guy draws it, and about four or five people work on the research and the writing of it. But we've only had six artists in our entire history, and John Graziano, the current artist, has been at it for about 6-7 years now.
Oh, wow. Well, kudos to John and the work that he does every single day. Now, we're talking to Edward Meyer, everybody, and we're talking about Ripley's Believe It or Not. Robert Ripley, when he started this, he was kind of referred to as a modern-day Marco Polo. Why did people call him that, Edward?
Well, the name was nicknamed by the Duke of Windsor, who actually appeared on one of his radio shows. But he traveled to 201 countries in just a little over 20 years. At a time where there was about 230. So he went to just about everywhere on the earth, circled the globe 8 times, an original member of the Circumnavigators Club, and, you know, was a relentless traveler. He went by dugout canoe, camel, plane, boat, train, whatever it took, in a time where travel wasn't all that easy in the 1920s up to the mid-1940s.
Yeah, think Indiana Jones and all of that kind of stuff. It was hard times traveling in those days.
Well, in many, many aspects, Indiana Jones is, you know, was created around Robert Ripley. There's a lot in common there.
Hmm. Well, now, Robert Ripley is gone, of course, but people are still coming up with these Believe It or Nots. Can just anybody submit an idea to Ripley's Believe It or Not? And if so, how do they go about doing that?
Well, anybody can. That's not where I thought you were going with that. I was going to say, yes, and I'm the Mr. Ripley today. But a lot of our material comes to us. We have been in business for over 90 years, so if somebody has something odd or unusual, Ripley's tends to be the first place they think of. We have a website, ripleys.com. You know, we have a real place, a real address, a real warehouse. I get the strangest mail in the world every day. People send us stuff. If, you know, a two-headed cow is born on their farm, Ripley's is the first person they think of. If they think they see the Madonna in their potato chips, you know, chances are they'll call Edward.
We're talking to Edward Meyer, everybody. He's the VP of Exhibits and Archives for Ripley Entertainment. And as such, that was going to be my next question. You are the modern-day Robert Ripley. So you've probably seen a bunch of odd stuff. You sort of alluded to the potato chips and so forth. But what are some of your favorite Ripley's, believe it or not, that you've come across in the 20,000?
I'd hazard to say I've seen it all. Okay, I'll go from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Okay.
In my office, I have a few things framed and on the wall, but my favorite is a collection of belly button lint. And a gentleman from Hong Kong sent this to me, and it's got a nice little picture of him and a nice little letter, just a few lines. But he doesn't think it at all odd that he collects his belly button lint. What he wants to know is, why is it always white? And he sent, I don't know, about two dozen little pieces of belly button lint in a little plastic bag. So that's the ridiculous. And I guess one of my all-time favorite pieces is a piece we have on exhibit in San Antonio, Texas. A taxidermied head of a full-size African bull elephant with two trunks.
Wow.
Two working trunks. If you can imagine how big an elephant is, these trunks are, you know, as big as a human. You know, they're about 5.5 feet high and about a foot wide. Perfectly working, side by side, strangest thing even I've ever seen.
Well, that brings up an interesting point, because the two-trunked elephant head is very cool. But do you ever have fakes and things people are trying to farce and bring to you that are not real?
Well, I don't think we get a lot of that. And certainly what I'm aware of isn't intentional. The common thing is shrunken heads. Genuine shrunken heads come from the Jivaro Indians of Ecuador, South America. Someone says they got a shrunken head from New Guinea, right away you know you got a problem. But the people that are bringing fake shrunken heads to Ripley's think they're real. They're the ones that have been fooled. They're not trying to trick us. You know, they really believe it's real and are heartbroken when I say, well, that ain't it.
And you're the one who has to burst their bubble.
And I'm the guy that bursts their bubble. But other than shrunken heads, I don't think we see too many fakes. You know, we've had one or two alien things thrown our way that we sort of dismiss pretty quickly. But, you know, people look at Ripley's as being the authority. And, you know, despite our name, if we put our name on it, you can believe it. You know, we do our homework. We do DNA testing. We do carbon dating. We will not publish it or put it in our museum or put it on our TV show until we're 100% convinced it's real.
We're talking to Edward Meyer, everybody, Vice President of Exhibits and Archives for Ripley Entertainment. He is truly today's Robert Ripley. He's out there finding all of these great finds that you find in their entertainment museums around the country. So tell me, Robert, I mean, this is interesting, Edward, because we're fascinated by the weird, the bizarre, and the unnatural. Why is it, and to what extent are you playing to the ghoulish side of human nature with Ripley's, believe it or not?
Well, I think there's a little bit of ghoulish, but we try to publish, and our book Interview Dare is a good example, 12 different chapters. Some of the stuff is a lot darker, and some of the stuff is a lot lighter, that hopefully there's something for everyone. The common thread is unbelievable, and I think the lasting appeal of Ripley's is all about human curiosity. If you haven't heard of it or you haven't seen it, and here's somebody called Ripley's, believe it or not, telling you, we've seen it, believe it, chances are you're going to want to read it, going to look at that picture and go, oh, my goodness, I never knew there was, you know, a horse that could get its head stuck in a tree, you know? That's one of my favorite pictures in the book. It's just so silly. Horse is sitting like a baby on its haunches, and who knows what made it put its head in the branches of the tree, but it got stuck, and the farmer had to cut down the tree to rescue the horse.
Well, Edward, you mentioned your latest book, which is Ripley's Believe It or Not, Enter If You Dare. It's a fantastic book. It's almost a coffee table book. It's printed in color, got fantastic, you say, 12 chapters. As you say, 12 chapters in it, got some great Believe It or Nots, some really unbelievable photos, and the clarity and the beauty of the photos is not to be believed. This book is out just in time for Christmas, so if you're looking for a Christmas gift for that special or weird person on your list, this might be the book to give them. But, Edward, tell us more about Ripley's as an organization, because it's really grown. It's not just the museums anymore, but it's a worldwide franchise. So tell us what you're doing in terms of the business side of Ripley's.
Well, we have, I guess there's really three different facets to our company. There's the attraction line, there's third-party licensing, and there's book publishing. We have our own publishing company. We print our own books. The museums, there are 31 Ripley's Believe It or Not museums, but we also have some miniature golfs. We have a couple aquariums. We own a big hotel up in Niagara Falls called the Great Wolf Lodge. In total, we have 85 different businesses. We are always growing. We try to open one or two new attractions every year and have been doing so for a long time. We're Canadian-owned, but headquartered in Orlando, Florida.
Canadian-owned, is it private or public?
Private.
All righty. Good. Very interesting. We're talking to Edward Meyer, everybody, Vice President of Exhibits and Archives for Ripley's Believe It or Not. Edward, when did the first attraction open up for Ripley's? How long ago was that?
Well, during Ripley's lifetime, he had what I would call temporary museums. Typically, they lasted only a summer season, but he opened the first one in Chicago, 1933. The most famous of his personal museums was right on Broadway in 1939 and 1940. And our oldest museum continuous is in St. Augustine, Florida, where this year we're celebrating our 60th year in business.
Wow, 60 years in business. That's quite commendable. Edward, in addition to some of the more staid attractions, the museums and that kind of stuff, you're also dipping your toes into the waters of new media as well. You've got a whole series of podcasts, Ripley's Podcasts, and you appear on some of these podcasts enough. I love the name. They're called Oddcasts. Tell us about that, and how can somebody subscribe to the Oddcasts?
Well, Ripley himself came up with the word auditorium. He never called them museums. So we honed in on that ODD, and instead of a podcast, we've got an Oddcast. We've done roughly 40 of them now. It's a panel of four people with a couple technicians behind the scenes, but we're rather sporadic. I can't say we've got a regular schedule, but we try to do two a month. And we do them here in-house in Orlando. We've got our own little studio set up. And anybody who wants to listen to it can go to ripleys.com and click on the button. It'll hook you straight up to it. And, you can hear all the shows that have already been on or listen to the most current one.
I think that's great. Does it have an RSS?
Yes, and they do star me. So,
well, and they're fun. They're a lot of fun, Edward. I have to admit, I've watched several of them, and I find them great. Is there an RSS feed that somebody could subscribe to, so every time you put up a new one, they get notification that there's a new Oddcast up there?
There is, but I got to be honest with you, I don't know the details there. Go to ripleys.com, hit on the press page, and it'll have all the details for you.
That is true. We're talking, everybody, to Edward Myers. He is the modern-day Robert Ripley going out there and collecting all of these oddities. Now, memory serves me correct, there was a TV show, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Is there still a TV show running, and if not, are there plans to bring it back?
Well, we've actually had one, two, three, four television shows during our history, maybe five even. But there is nothing currently new on. Our most recent show ran from 2000 to 2004, starring Dean Cain and Kelly Packard.
Right.
That show is still on the Sci-Fi Network in syndication, roughly 70 countries around the world, so still doing well. And, sad to say, but we make more money off of reruns than we would off of new shows.
Wow.
But we'd love to get back into TV. We've got a couple concepts out there that we're trying to market, but right now, nothing I can promise anybody.
All right, fair enough. We're talking to Edward Myers, everybody, and you've got some interesting exhibits going out there since you are the head of exhibits. Tell us about the lethal weapons display that you have at the aquarium in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Well, again, that's not totally my forte, but it is a combination of what I will call real museum exhibits, you know, artifacts, photography, video, but also because it's in our aquarium, it has some live fish as well. And all of the, you know, the content of all its different varieties is all about animals that can harm people. You know, some of them are venomous. Some of them, you know, got big bills that they might stick you with. And, you know, they're dangerous sea life. And thus the title, Lethal Weapons, that they've got something about them that should put up the caution signs.
Everybody, we've been talking to Edward T. Meyer. He is the Vice President of Exhibits and Archives for Ripley Entertainment. He also, they have a new book out from Ripley's Publishing. It's Ripley's Believe It or Not, Enter If You Dare. It is a coffee table size book printed in color, great for Christmas if you're looking for that special gift for somebody that's out there. Edward, if people wanted to learn more about you, learn more about Ripley's, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Oh, well, directly to our site, ripleys.com. I do have a little bit of personal notoriety, so if you just Google Edward Meyer, you're bound to find something. But, you know, I haven't got a biography of myself out there. There's been lots of newspaper articles, a few magazine ones, but I'm still working on the book.
Great. Well, Edward, it has been a real pleasure talking to you. It's been a lot of fun. You fit right in with our theme today, Hard to Believe. Thanks so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks very much for having Ripley.